These are the words given to us by the living God and penned by the psalmist. Psalm 95, come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before him with thanksgiving and extol him with music and song. For the Lord is the great God, the great King above all gods. In his hand are the depths of the earth, and the mountain peaks belong to him. The sea is his, for he made it, and his hands form the dry land. Come, let us bow down in worship. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, the flock under his care. Today, if only you would hear his voice. If only you would hear his voice.
Just a few announcements this morning. Wednesday night, the Bible study will be meeting February 21st at 7 p.m. We will be continuing our study on people of the Bible and what we can learn from them. And this week, we're going to be looking at Miriam. And there are some handout sheets at the back podium with the scripture passages and some questions and even an activity on it this week, a special activity. So please take one with you, even if you can't come out. But if you're able, definitely join us for this wonderful study. Continue to pray for God's leading as we search for a pastor. We had one applicant this week, but they're in the Philippines, so a little more difficult to try to orchestrate a pastor from a far, far place. But continue to pray that God will bring the person that he wants here. There will be a men's conference at Banwell Community Church this Saturday, the 24th, from 8:30 to 1:30, and the tickets are $30. So today is your last chance. If you're interested in going to that men's event, you can speak to Kevin Augustine about getting a ticket. Our speaker for next week will be Mr. Tim Charter, and so we're looking forward to having him back. And today we have Mr. David Gourley with us, and we're so pleased to have him this morning. So we're looking forward to the message that God has laid on his heart. As we continue in worship, let's just go to God in prayer. God, our Father, we thank you so much for your goodness, for your provision, for the fact that you indwell us and your presence is with us no matter where we are or where we go or what our situation, we have you with us all the time. Lord, we thank you for your gift of salvation, for the death on your death on the cross that, Lord, we just know is a vital, it's vital that each person here knows you as their Lord and Savior and has accepted that gift of salvation. So, Lord, if anybody here doesn't know you as their Lord and Savior, speak to them. Lord, I just thank you for your spirit here, and we just pray that your spirit will be felt this morning through this worship service. We thank you for the music and that's uplifting and your word that is a mighty sword that speaks your truth. And, Lord, we just thank you for the message that we're about to hear. Lord, we just pray that we'll not only listen, but we'll apply it to our lives this week. Lord, I just thank you for each person that serves in our church, and Lord, for the ability you've given us to continue for all this time without a pastor. But Lord, we do continue to place this request at your feet, and we understand that it's in your timing, and it's the person that you want here that we need to wait patiently for. We see so many examples in Scripture where your servants had to wait, and sometimes that was a difficult thing, and Lord, we just can relate to that, but Lord, we just pray that you will bring an answer to our prayers. But Lord, help us to make sure that it's the right decision and that we don't go down a path that's not pleasing to you. So Lord, just help us to be discerning. Lord, I thank you for each person that's part of this church family. Lord, I just thank you for your care and your goodness, your provision. And Lord, I just pray for health needs at this time. Lord, you know the needs within our church family and our congregation. We may not even be aware of a physical need or a problem that somebody has, but you know each person intimately, Lord, and you know what our issues and our concerns are. Lord, we just pray for your healing touch on lives. And Lord, we just pray for those that aren't here this morning. We just not We just pray that they will feel your presence wherever they are, and especially if anybody's bedridden this morning, Lord, just bring your comfort and your presence at this time. Lord, I thank you for our country that we live in. We thank you that as much as there's so much turmoil in the world, we feel relatively safe here. And Lord, we just thank you for that peace that we have as we live in Canada. But Lord, we pray for Christians around the world that are having to meet secretly because of persecution in those places. And Lord, we just pray for missionaries that are in different countries, for the Susies and the Kwaks and for the Potmans. Lord, we just pray for those missionaries that you'll encourage them, give them your strength to continue the work that's needed to be done to reach people for you, Lord. And we just pray that they will feel your blessing and your presence with them. Lord, we just pray for our leaders that you will turn hearts within the leadership of our country and other countries around us, that you will change hearts of the leaders to want to serve you faithfully and make decisions that are godly and not ones that are selfish or hurtful for the people in the country. And Lord, we just pray that you will do that here in Canada as well. Lord, we thank you for our neighborhood around this church, and we just pray that you'll give us opportunity to reach out. And Lord, we just pray that there will be turning to you, some revival, because we know, based on your word, that you are coming again and that we need to be ready, and that can be at any moment in the blink of an eye. So, Lord, help us to be prepared for that event, and as we look forward to it, Lord, and we await your return, help us to be continuing to be faithful servants for you alone. I pray all of this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Our scripture reading comes from Hebrews chapter 11, a famous chapter about faith. 25 times in the chapter, the writer of Hebrews pens the phrase, by faith, and another 5 times or so, pending the translation, a total of 30 times about faith. The scripture reading today, Hebrews 11, 1 to 3, and continuing on verse 8 to 12. Now, faith is the confidence, the assurance in what we hope for, the assurance about what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in a promised land, like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to a city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. And by faith, even Sarah, who was past childbearing age, was enabled to bear children because she considered him faithful who had made the promise. And so, from this one man, and he as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as the sand on the seashore. Just wondering how you're coping with the month of February, often called the month of the blues, the month of the blahs on our yearly calendar, consistently voted the dreariest and dullest month of the year. a month of disappointments, a month when those first of January New Year's Eve resolutions have been disregarded, shelved, long forgotten for yet another year in partial or absolute failure. Did you know in the teaching profession there are more calls made for substitute teachers in the month of February than at any other time in the school year? Did you know that people in February plan and book more vacation getaways for the coming months? Did you know that more employees in February quit their jobs or begin to look for new positions than at any other time? Did you know that major corporations, large businesses, and companies, both great and small, bring in the best of motivational speakers to energize and encourage their employees during the month of February? And I see that you, like many churches, have done just that. Brought in a motivational speaker, and I thank you for the invitation. Although, truth be told, you might have considered inviting Mr. Lawrence Walters of San Pedro, California, the renowned motivational guru of his time. Allow me to share his true story. He said one day, "Enough is enough. What I need is a little excitement in my life. I'm tired of just sitting around." So on July 2nd, 1982, he rigged up 42 helium balloons, attached them to a Sears lawn chair, and lifted off, armed with only a pellet gun to help handle the elevation. Before he knew it, he was shocked to find himself 16,000 feet in the air. Walter sort of had his breath taken away about that time, and his mind started to get strangely fuzzy. But he wasn't the only one to be surprised. Oh no, a pilot in a Southwest Airlines radioed the tower and said, "There's a guy in a lawn chair and he's floating across the sky." Thankfully, Walters had enough presence of mind to start shooting out the balloons one by one, which allowed him to land about 45 minutes later in Long Beach, California, some 7 miles away from where he lifted off. But the bizarre experience got him on the Tonight Show, got him a Timex watch, and a leading role in a Timex ad, and allowed him to quit his job and go on the road giving motivational speeches. And of course, the main question asked of him was, "Why in the world did you do that? Why'd you do that?" And his reply, "Just had to do something. Couldn't just keep sitting on my porch. I needed to be motivated, not just sitting around doing nothing, waiting for something to happen. I needed to be energized and challenged." But unfortunately, folks, the reality is Mr. Walters isn't here today. I am. And so it is with such intent this morning. I want to challenge you on behalf of God to do something for God, to do something great for God. Recording star Cece Winans sings these chorus words: "All my life he has been faithful. All my life he has been so, so good. And with every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God." What powerful and thought-provoking lyrics. The goodness of God shown by God's faithfulness. And I wonder what that faithfulness really entails, what it means to you, to me, and even more importantly, what it means to God. For after all, to accept God's challenge to do something great for him is a lot easier to accept when we acknowledge his faithfulness in all we do and in all we've done. Understanding that his faithfulness never, never, ever fails. Looking at God first in relation to his faithfulness and what faithfulness means to God is really quite easy. After all, we have one God and one faithfulness yesterday, today, and always. And he wrote about his faithfulness throughout his book, and especially in the book of Psalms. Listen how the psalmist writes about God's faithfulness. Your love, Lord, reaches to the heavens, your faithfulness to the skies. With my mouth I will declare your faithfulness through all generations, that you have established your faithfulness in heaven itself. For the Lord is good. His faithfulness continues through all generations. And in Psalm 111, the psalmist pens, the works of his hands are faithful and just. All his precepts are trustworthy. They are established forever and ever, enacted in faithfulness. That's God's view of his own faithfulness. That's exactly what he would have us know and remember, so that we can ultimately accept the challenge to do something great for him. What are about our view of God's faithfulness? As Christians, we know God's got a perfect plan for us, which he had in place well before we were born. The psalmist writes, all the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. We also know that God's in the process of carrying out his plan with and for us, even when we irresponsibly try to reroute his plan, even when we choose to mess up his plan, even when we deliberately go out of our way to go against God's plan for us. To me, it sounds a bit like the Fleetwood Mac song. You can go your own way. Oh, you can go your own way. And folks, that's exactly what you do. I know this because that's exactly what I do. At times, we try to go our own way. And what a mess we make of life. What a mess. Yet through it all, by his enduring faithfulness, God takes us and puts us back on track by some awesome, amazing, and miraculous way of his. Personally, to me, all my life he has been faithful means that whatever's taken place in the past, whatever's about to come before me, God, whether I've recognized it or not, has been completely faithful to me. Whether it's been through times of joy, success, and triumph, or whether it's been through sadness, failure, and utter defeat, God has remained always faithful. And that being said, how do I apply this to my life, and how do I live life today? Well, to me, it means we have a certain responsibility to his faithfulness. And please don't understand me. It's not one of obligation that's forced upon me. No, it's an enactment of faithfulness that I freely give. To be more specific, I've got a choice to make in regards to how I live my life in thankfulness to his faithfulness. My response to his faithfulness must first be clearly understood by me and then ultimately freely given from me. Becomes a choice, becomes a purposeful choice. The poet Robert Frost in The Road Not Taken writes these words, two roads diverged in a yellow wood. Sorry I couldn't travel both. And be one traveler long I stood. I looked down one as far as I could to where it bent in the undergrowth. Frost continues, I shall be telling this with a sigh. Somewhere ages and ages hence, two roads diverged in a wood, and I took the one less traveled by. And it has made all the difference. The poet envisions someone who's challenged with a choice that must be made. In the Old Testament, in the book of Joshua, Joshua is challenged by God to replace Moses. As I was with Moses, God tells him, so I'll be with you. Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? You see, God's offering his faithfulness hand in hand with the challenge to Joshua. And we know Joshua accepted the challenge and lived by it. Because at the end of the book, it says to all the people, choose you this day whether you'll serve the gods of the Amorites or whether you'll serve Israel's true God. Choose you this day who you're going to serve. But as for me, my household, we will serve the Lord. That's how we accept God's challenge. For all of God's challenges to us are foundational, based upon his faithfulness to help us and see them through. We must choose to live our life by standing for what is right, and by so doing, our stance honors God. You see, God's challenge to us, the challenge of this message to you and I today, is simply this. In our life, we've got to take a stand and do what's right. And in so doing, honor God. It's my fervent hope that you agree. The prophet of old, Jeremiah, voiced this. Stand at the crossroads and look. Ask for the ancient paths and walk in them. And you'll have rest. So, ladies and gentlemen, I pose a question to you. What about you? Will you accept the challenge, God's challenge to you? Will you, from this day on, stand and do what's right, and by so standing, honor God? Ready to have some fun? Okay. The next time I ask the question, what about you? Your vocal response to me will be, I will stand and do what's right. I will stand and honor God. And if you feel like standing, more than welcome to stand. If you have trouble standing and you want to shout, more than welcome to raise the rafters in this auditorium. You can stand, you can shout, you can just say those words. Or you can sit there and do nothing. And with that, you'll have to take that up with God. I can't handle that. So let's try. Here we go. Some 4,000 years ago, a man living in Ur of the Chaldees heard the voice of God recorded in Genesis. Leave your country, your people, your father's household, and go to the land that I will show you. We're told, so Abram went, as the Lord told him. Abram was an idol worshiper. His father was an idol worshiper. His father's father, the entire family were idol worshipers. And this God that spoke to him, our God, he had no idea who he was. No idea. But he heard the call. He obeyed the call and accepted God's challenge. We're told Abram left Haran, set out for the land of Canaan, fully confident in God's faithfulness, and they arrived there. You see, folks, for Abraham, it wasn't about the place he had lived in, but how he would choose to live life in the promised place that God was giving him. Abraham took on the challenge of God in regards and on the basis of God's faithfulness. Abram stood and did what was right. Abram stood and honored God. What about you?
I thank you.
Some 200 years later, a young boy born 11th out of 12 sons to a father living in the promised land is given two God dreams. One about his immediate family and the other about the beginning of the nation of Israel. He tells his dreams to his family and they hate him for it. And as a result, because of sharing his God dreams, is thrown by his brothers into a pit, sold to Ishmaelite traders, taken to Egypt and sold as a slave on the auction block and bought by an Egyptian official whose wife, unfortunately, accuses him unjustly of seduction. And as a result, he's thrown into an Egyptian prison and after interpreting two dreams, finds himself standing in front of the most powerful ruler in the time of the ancient world. Eventually rises to the position of prime minister of Egypt, a position he uses to save his entire family from a widespread famine by extending God's grace through God's love and God's unlimited faithfulness to undeserving brothers. With the words that only a savior could speak, with the words that only God could have placed in Joseph's mouth, "You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good, to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. So don't be afraid. I will provide for you." The brothers are shaken. The brothers fear for their lives. And they ask Joseph, "After all the hate we had for you, Joseph, after all the harm that we caused you, how can you forgive us after all the evil that came upon you from our deed?" And Joseph tells them that it wasn't about the evil that had been done to him by a few, but the good that he could now do for the many. Joseph believed in the faithfulness of God. Joseph stood and did what was right. Joseph stood and honored God. And I ask you, what about you?
Stand and do what is right. I will stand and honor God.
Ah, you're getting it now. About 3,000 years ago, a son is born to Agi the Hararite. His name Shammah. He was one of David's three mighty men. And history tells us the Philistines banded together at a place where there was a field full of lentils ready for the harvest. A pea patch, if you will. It was just a simple pea patch. Yet when the Israelite troops saw the approaching marauding band of Philistines that were coming to raid the harvest in fear, they all fled. All but Shammah. We're told Shammah took his stand in the middle of that field. He defended that piece of turf, that promised land. He struck down the Philistines, and we're told the Lord brought about a great victory on that day. You see, Shammah didn't waver. Shammah didn't second guess himself. Shammah didn't shy away from protecting the land that God had given him. Quite the contrary. Shammah believed the promises of God as an assurance based on God's faithfulness. For Shammah, it wasn't about the peas in a plot of ground. It was about the plot of ground promised to Israel by their God. He stood in the middle of that field and did what was right. He stood in the middle of that field and honored God, and I ask you today, what about you?
I will stand and do what is right. I will stand and honor God.
Some 600 years before the birth of Christ, four teenage boys, members of the royal family and nobility of Israel, were bound, taken captive by the invading army of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and marched barefoot some 900 miles to his capital. What were they to do? What were they to do? their homeland overrun by invaders, their city of Jerusalem ransacked and burned, their temple looted and destroyed. What were they to do? Well, let me tell you exactly what they did. You remember the story of Daniel's faithfulness? We read that the plotters, wanting to get rid of Daniel, couldn't find any corruption in him. So they had King Darius pass a law that no one could pray to anyone except the king himself. And what does Daniel do? What does Daniel do upon hearing the decree? He goes home to his upstairs room, where he makes sure the windows are wide open facing Jerusalem. And three times a day, he gets down on his knees and prays, giving thanks to God just as he had done before. You see, for Daniel, it wasn't about the coming lion's den. For Daniel, it was about being faithful to God right there, right then. And those other three, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, on the plains of Dura, when Nebuchadnezzar had set up an image of gold to be worshipped, and whoever didn't fall down and worship the image would be immediately thrown into a blazing furnace. You know that story. What did they do when the signal was given to bow down? They heard the call of God. They took on the challenge of God. They stood tall for all to see how faithful they were to the true and ever faithful God that they served. When they were called before the king to be given a second chance, what was their response? King Nebuchadnezzar, we don't need to defend ourselves in front of you this day. If we're thrown into the blazing furnace, God is able to save us. But even if he doesn't, we want you to know, Your Majesty, that we will never serve your gods and we will never bow down to the image of gold that you set up. Our God is faithful and we will serve our faithful God. For these boys, it wasn't about the fire in the furnace. For these boys, it was about the fire in their hearts for God. They believed in the faithfulness behind the challenge of their God to stand and do what's right, to stand and honor God. And I ask you, how about you? What about you, folks? What about you?
I will stand and do what is right. I will stand and honor God.
There's a story early in the book of the Gospel of Matthew. It's about these boys that are fishing. Eventually will be disciples of Jesus. They're fishing. Why are they fishing? They're fishing because they didn't meet the challenge their parents had given them, which was to go and study and become a rabbi and then a Pharisee. And maybe if you study really hard and prove yourself to the men that lead Israel, you'll be a member of the Sanhedrin. They didn't make the cut. I know they didn't make the cut because they're fishing. Because that's exactly what boys did that didn't meet the challenge of their education. They went back and did what their father did. They went back and fished. And along comes this wandering rabbi down the shore. And he looks at them. And he offers them a challenge. And he calls them, "Come. Follow me." And they can't wait to get out of the boat fast enough to accept the challenge from Jesus to come follow him. And I'm sure as they're following Jesus, they're talking to themselves saying, "I wonder what this is all about. What do you think we're going to do? What challenge will he give us?" And Jesus says, "I'm about to save the world. And your challenge is to go tell everybody what I'm about to do. They accepted the challenge that God had given them. Four times today, you've declared your acceptance of the challenge God's given you. That when you leave today and go out from this auditorium, that you will stand and do what's right. And by so standing, honor God. And so, God challenges you as you walk out today. Be bold. Be strong and courageous. For I'll be with you. My faithfulness will see you through as you stand in all situations and do what's right. As you stand and honor God. As you stand and honor Him.